All right, Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Now we're continuing the thoughts that from about what Jesus, we started during the course of our service. I'll do that until we get to Wapik, right? And then from there, we'll go with the Holy Ghost after Wapik, okay? So Jesus was speaking and he talked about, and he cried on the last day of the great feast. And said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. All right, so Jesus said in John chapter 7, on the day of the great feasts, and he said, if any man thirst, and it was a cry, let him come unto me, all right, and drink. And then he went on and said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it tells us that this he spoke about the Holy Spirit, all right, which them that will believe on him shall receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he cried out and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, Isaiah 44 and verse 3 also speaks to this. This is a scripture that Jesus quoted. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Now, so he says, if a man is thirsty, let him come to him and drink. Now, to quench your thirst, personal thirst, it doesn't require rivers to quench your thirst. Right? So you come to him and you drink of his water, and as it were, it goes within your belly and now comes out in multiple forms, which means out of his belly comes rivers of living water. All right? It comes out in excessive measure. All right? The power of God flows out of you, right, beyond your own personal needs. In excessive measure there that helps other people, all right, that does many things upon the earth. And the first point I want to get to is this, that we need to re-examine, all right, our belief system. That is, look again at the Word of God and Scriptures with an open heart. Not just what we understood first or what we just read in some books or listened to somebody tell us, but we need to look at the scriptures again and examine them properly there, right? And make sure our foundations, all right, is based on everybody, what you saw in the Word of God. Because there is this, if it tells us rivers of living water will flow out and tells us this comes in excessive measure, then we understand that the concept that God is giving us in this New Testament is an abundant, all right, supply and manifestation of power in and through us beyond even our own personal needs, right? And therefore, our concept shouldn't be one of us struggling in faith, all right, to try to get one single healing, or struggling in faith, you know, to get a need met, and, you know, this thing here where somebody is believing God and believing God and believing God and praying and praying and believing God as though, you know, it takes time and all of that with God. If he said that, listen, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, let's look at it again. For this same scripture tells us that God will do exceeding abundantly above what we, that above all that we ask or think or imagine, according to the power that worketh inside of us. It says, out of your belly. He will do exceeding. Now, if somebody just tells you, I will do above what you ask or what you imagine, you'll be impressed. That he says, I will do above what you ask or imagine. You can imagine. I will go beyond that. If a person adds to that and says, I will go abundantly above that, you will find that, you know, very, you know, stimulating, that this is a very, very, all right, powerful program. But then the person says, the only words I can use to try to capture what I will do by the power that works inside you is not just above what you ask or think. It's not just abundantly above what you ask or think, but it's exceeding abundantly above, using adjectives there, things to describe what will come out of you. That is, this is the same power, the Bible says, that he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and then set him at his own right hand, the workings of his mighty power, right? There's nothing impossible to that power. Now think about that and then have the picture of the Christian who says that I've been believing God for a job, you know, I've been praying for a job, and I've been praying for this for 3 years, and all of that. And you understand that there's a difference between what is being said in the Bible and what is being experienced, all right, within the four walls of a church is there. So we've got to look at this. Well, what was it talking about? We've said this, that the first feast was Passover when we got born again. The second feast, we move from that, and we move to the feast of the Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, when men were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. And then the last feast in the Jewish calendar that I was talking about is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Ingathering, right? The Feast of Pentecost was the first fruits, which means it was just the first manifestation of what was to come. But then the Feast of Tabernacles is the Ingathering, which means everything is gathered together. Massive harvest that occurs, all right, during that particular point in time. And so we cannot use the mindset of Passover there and the paradigm we had as a mindset there of Pentecost being filled to deal with the reality of this new phase that God is talking about. I mean, let me give you an example here. Somebody tells you that you buy an equipment from a reputable company, right, one of integrity, and they tell you that this equipment, you want to use it to cut grass, and they tell you that it can cut, the power that is inside, it can cut, all right, 1 acre of land, grassland there, in 2 minutes when you start using it, right? And you've been using a lawnmower in the past, and you push this way, and then you turn the lawnmower, and then you push this way, and then you go and push that way, and you now get this particular equipment now. And then you want to use the equipment, for it says out of your belly will flow rivers of living water exceedingly abundantly above. And then it is still operating as a lawnmower, right? Which means you are still pushing and all of that. And so you ask yourself, there is nothing wrong with the company, the organization. They are reputable, right? This is a organization with integrity. The problem has to be with my own understanding of this particular equipment. Is it that I have the mindset of the lawnmower and I'm trying to work this equipment that is far greater than that with the understanding of the lawnmower? Do I re-examine that? And then suddenly you re-examine that and you check through things and then you find you didn't press some buttons, you do that and the work begins to go on with that speed. So I want to look at, are there some things that places where we have used an old mindset to try to get into a new reality there. That is, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this, the Bible says, it spoke about the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost himself is that water, living water there that will flow out of you, right, in abundant measure there in order for things to happen. Now, when we look at Isaiah 34, follow me here. It says this in verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Book of the Lord is the Bible. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Now, what God is telling us is, anything you read in the Bible, you read it in the Bible, it cannot fail. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. In other words, physical, all right, manifestation, corresponding thing there. For my mouth, it had commanded it. In other words, he says, any expectation that is created inside you as a result of reading the word, it says, know this, not one single one. Now, if you just came out and said, all right, 2018 is my new year of new things, right? But you cannot, you didn't read that in the Word of God. It says, if you read the Word of God and anything you see in the Word of God by yourself. And it creates an expectation in you. A light bulb comes on inside you. You are illuminated by that thing that you saw. He said, I want to tell you, my mouth commanded that thing. My spirit shall gather it. And not one of what you have seen there shall fail. So it tells us to go to the book and let our expectations come from the book. However, let's look at something. If we go to chapter 29 of Isaiah, and we look at verse 9, it says, stay yourselves and wonder. They cry out, they are drunken, but not with wine. For the Lord, in verse 10, has poured a spirit of deep sleep and closed your eyes, the prophets and the rulers and the seers hath he covered. And he says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. So the book is sealed. And so when they saw the book was sealed, which meant delivered now to a learned man or educated man, saying, read this. So reading it is no more than just eye contact. Read this. And he said, I cannot read it. In other words, I'm reading, but I cannot understand what he's saying to me. And he says, the reason why I can't do that, I don't understand it, is because it is sealed. All right? And then they took it and gave it to somebody that was uneducated. Say, read this, I pray thee, and says, I am not learned. And thought it was because he wasn't educated. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, these are people that the book is sealed to, lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far away from me, for their fear towards me, that religious activity, reverential things, is taught by the precept of men. In other words, all they do is actually what they have been taught by the precept of men. Because the book is sealed and they cannot see what I am saying in the book. So all that they are dealing with is what they were taught by the precept of men. However, it tells us that in verse 17, it's not a very little while that Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day, what is going to bring about the total change? It says, shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness, and the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in God. Now, so when we go back to 34 here, with that in mind, it now goes on and says, that we should, my mouth has commanded, my spirit he hath gathered. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. So everything, it says, he has cast the lot, everything has been divided. All right, when you read in the book there, you'll find out what belongs to you, all right, in Christ Jesus. You will know, it says this, and they shall possess it, and it will last there from generation to generation, for they shall dwell therein. And then it goes on and says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. Now, we've got to understand that it's written in chapter and verses, but the original, all right, manuscripts are not written in chapter and verses. Those that put it in chapter, I mean, when Paul wrote his letters, he didn't write in chapter and verses. He wrote a letter to the people. But then what happened, it was that the translators there, right, looked at it and felt that it was better, easier to understand if they break the Bible up there, and where they felt a concept or thought ended, they will say the chapter has ended, and then where they feel that another one began, they will say the chapter, new chapter began, right? But sometimes it doesn't help. So I'll suggest when reading the Word of God, that when you get to the end of a chapter, find out whether the next chapter connects with it. And if it does connect, then continue reading that way, because you might miss out on something because of the chapter and verse mentality. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? So, and that's why sometimes when people interpret scripture and they say, this verse said this, that verse said it, it wasn't written in verses. Right? It was written as a letter. It says this one is to Christians, this one is to unbelievers in the same letter. Then this one, even when it's in verses, it's people that break the chapter and verse. He wrote a letter there. So you can't start playing those games, all right, with it there. Okay? So it continues there. Okay? The only one that I know that is that way was Psalms, which means he gave a psalm and gave another psalm and gave another psalm there. Right? So it goes on and says this, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and shall blossom. Now, so there are two things I want to talk about this morning, the wilderness and the solitary place. And we'll find out that waters break out in the wilderness there and show how waters will break out in your wilderness as a strategy going forward, all right, for this year. How you ought to come. Where the Bible tells us, all right, that you shall be as a tree that is planted by the rivers of water there. And we'll find out two things happen. You'll bring forth your fruits in season. And the second thing that happens is your leaf doesn't wither. In other words, there is the influence of the environment doesn't reflect. Well, the environment has no influence over you. If things get worse in the natural, it doesn't show your own leaf does not wither. All right? The reason why leaves wither is not because of the sun, but lack of moisture. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, when rain stops falling, the sun comes out every time. How come on some seasons, the leaf doesn't wither, it's getting greener and greener? It's because it's raining season. Do you get what I'm saying here? So it's the lack of water, lack of moisture that causes things to wither, not just the presence of the sun. The sun can be there, but if there's moisture, if water is being supplied there, then instead of the thing, the sun itself will allow the thing to start getting greener and greener. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it says your leaf shall not, so don't look on the outside. Your leaf shall not wither. The point is, what does it mean to be planted, all right, by the rivers of water there? Your leaf shall not wither. And it says, whatsoever you do prospers. And one will be in that space there. Okay? And so it tells us the wilderness. And this is a place without water. All right? And the solitary place. But let's address solitary place first, because we're talking about this. The solitary place there, which are two things that characterize a person who is going through stagnancy, nothing is happening in your life. You've got to understand that word solitary, that word means, that word in Hebrew, you can check it. It means that you are standing and doing things alone. Which means that you don't have any support system around you. Which means that there is no group. You are not doing things, getting things done, all right, as a team. You don't have that, you know, what they call a family there, all right, that is behind you. And that's why we started Life Fellowships here. So that every individual has a spiritual support group, all right, that helps them to carry loads there. And this is one of the big secrets there to getting fruitful. You cannot get fruitful in isolation. God created the animals. He looked at them, the grass, the fish. He said, it's all good. He saw man alone, and God said, it is not good. In other words, when he looked at the fish, he said, they are good, but this is not good for a person just to be by themselves. All right? Which means that you can't fulfill your potential. I mean, if we are four strong guys, and these monitors are very heavy, I'll explain it this way, and we decide, therefore, we have an instruction, carry out this monitor, you four strong guys. And then four of us individually, because we have confidence in our strength, go to the monitor, which is exceeding heavy there, and try to carry it. And you know, it's very heavy, and we cannot, we are struggling, but we are strong guys. We have to show we are strong guys, and pride comes into it, but we can't even move. But then why instruction said, four of you get the monitors out. In other words, what they are saying is four people go to one monitor, four of you carry the monitor out quickly, then four go to another monitor, carry the monitor out quickly, then four go to another monitor, carry it out quickly, four go to another monitor, carry out quickly, and you'll be out in 5 minutes. But then when you think that the instruction means it's me as an individual, are you following what I'm saying here? All right, it was F.F. Boswell, one of the finest, if not the finest teacher of faith and healing. All right, he said this, he said, when you look at what the instructions that Jesus left to the church, he never talked about him leaving it to the individual. He says, this sign shall follow them that believe. If you look at the early church, you'll find out everything that happened came as a result of corporate prayer, came as a result of people coming together. That was the way in which the faith in the New Testament was going to work. In his book, he wrote 21 reasons why people might not get healed. Now, some are on the lower ladder, but the primary first three. First one, he said, the reason why somebody might not get killed is that they do not have instructions from the Word of God. In other words, they've not read it in the book. So when we say that, read it inside the book, which means they do not know from the Word of God that it is the will of God to get every single human being healed. The Bible tells us that when God went with his presence with the Israelites, there was not one feeble man among them. And the scripture tells us when Jesus came as the express image of the Father, brightness of his glory, it says he healed them all manner of sickness and disease. Nobody came to Jesus, and Jesus said, it is not the will of the Father for you to be made whole. Nobody ever came to him, no matter what it was. So it is the will of God that everybody, he says, and until a person sees it inside the heart, that there are no exceptions, because if you think the exceptions, then you might think you are the exception. Right? So there's no exceptions here. It is the will of God for everybody to be made whole. He said, then the next thing after that is that if that is in place and the person knows it's God's will, then the next thing that we said I want to look at is their united prayer by a group of people praying at that scripture to prevail in prayer over that particular person. He said the second reason why people fail is that there is no corporate prayer over it. And as an individual, I will not go into anything again in my entire life, no matter if you say, read the book there, but I will get people, all right? I will not do anything. I will not do anything. All right? Just go by your own self as an individual and try to get, because I've seen that that practice is not scriptural. Put up Psalm 68 and verse 6. It talks about the solitary. He says he sets the solitary in families. He says that, and bringeth, he setteth the solitary in families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains. That's how he does it. Right? People are in bondage, put them in a family, let them be spiritual support. A spiritual family. That's why we have life fellowships. We're starting this for the purpose of spiritual support, nothing else, not to indoctrinate anybody, but in order to create that spiritual support for people.
Thank you for listening.